This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I am a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
This is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects. Well, hello, everybody.
Hello. Funny to have you here.
Funny seeing you in these parts.
I didn't execute that very well.
Not at all. Let's get right into it. That's another episode of Anime Noise.
Anime Noise.
Sure is.
Echo.
And if you couldn't tell from the description of the show
and the intro,
our Instagram, today we're doing Death Parade.
It's a parade of death.
Sure is. Not at all, actually, in the show.
I know. But that's what it makes it seem like.
That's true.
And the intro song makes it seem like it's about to be a parade.
Yeah, the title just makes me think of My Chemical Romance. But it has nothing to do with that.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
Exactly. This is a great anime. I guess I'll just start by saying that because you got all kinds of philosophical questions answered. It really plays with your emotions. It's got a wonderful score, kind of a cool backstory of how it got created. And I would highly recommend it to any beginner anime watcher. Even if it is your first anime, I would still recommend it as your first anime. It's not the first one that I would recommend.
Yeah, no.
But it is a good anime to have as your first.
It's one you should put up there, but it is not the one I would recommend as being your first one. Me and Garrett have had debate about this because I don't think that it's an anime for the very beginner. Like, it's not the anime I think you should go to if you're like, I've never seen anime.
It depends on the beginner. Like, I would totally show this to my mom.
Yeah, but you've shown her anime before.
Yeah, but not a whole lot.
But that's what I mean. I don't think it should be like the very first thing. If you have never, ever, 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 ever watched anime, this is not the one I would start with.
If there was a small pamphlet of animes that I could put and compile together into a group that you could watch for your very first one, this would be in that group.
Okay. I guess we're going to have to
agree to disagree on this one.
It's okay for us to have disagreements.
Yeah, that's
part of our normal life.
It's part actually. Of everybody's normal life.
It's part of our normal life.
We're allowed to disagree and still like each other.
It's true.
For the most part.
For the most part. I kind of like you sometimes.
All right, let's get on to Death Parade. I guess let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot of cool shit and a bunch of fun facts.
Yeah.
And a couple of reviews that we got to read. And
that's right.
We got a big show for you today.
Well, let's get down to it.
Take it away, Emily.
Get to the nitty gritty.
Take it away.
All right. So Death Parade aired in 2015 from January to March. There are 12 episodes total, and they are each 23 minutes long.
Super easy.
Yeah, kind of goes hand in hand with what Garrett was saying about keeping the anime. Like, if that's one of your first ones, then it's a great one to start with. It's a short. You're going to get it done, and, you know, that's all there is to it.
Short and sweet and easy to binge in a day.
Absolutely. So it was done in the Madhouse studio. It, you know, if you couldn't tell by like the entering, like the credit scenes.
God, the credit scenes.
I never know what to call those.
They're credits.
Because I always think of credits as the end.
Well, they're intro credits.
Yeah, I know. But they showed like the same thing. So it just doesn't make sense.
I mean,
I just don't know what to call them half the time. Yeah, and I lose my words.
Madhouse, you guys should all know Madhouse. It's a huge anime studio. I guarantee you have seen a Madhouse anime at least once in your life, even if it was on accident.
It's true. It's true. They're or you've huge. Seen some kind of meme with a Madhouse anime in it.
Or you've just seen some terrible news stories about Madhouse and how they treat their employees. But
that's true. Yeah.
We'll leave that for another day. Oh, man.
If you want to hear us talk some shit about creators and that kind of stuff, go listen to our Attack on Titan episode.
Definitely.
All right. So it was produced by VAP and the Nippon TV Network. They collectively worked on Hunter x Hunter, Death Note, and the Yuran High School Host Club.
Another three great
I know.
Animes. Those are, yeah.
I'm
this is done. This was created by just a group of people that were incredibly experienced, and
yeah,
this kind of flew under the radar. I think. I mean,
I do too.
I don't remember it coming out in 2015.
You don't hear a whole lot about it. How did we find out about it? I know you were the one who told me about it. How did we find out about it?
I have two ways, actually. One was because we were listening to like the like a playlist of anime music.
That's
and this
right.
came up. And the other one was I had looked up what animes, I forget which anime it was like. I was like, what anime is like this? Or other animes like this one. I forget which one we were watching at the time. But I looked for similar animes, and this one came up, and I read the description. I was like, okay, this sounds right up our wheelhouse, and it's super easy to watch. So that's how we found out about it.
Okay. Yeah, I just couldn't remember. There's a lot of information coming at us about new anime. So I was like, I don't even know how we heard about this one.
Those two ways were like, one happened right at about the same time as the other one. I was like, oh yeah, I recognize this from one of the ways we found it, you know?
Yeah.
So then we're like, let's fucking watch it.
Absolutely. And Hunter x Hunter, guys, I'm so excited when we get to review Hunter x Hunter. I'm so excited. If I could adopt that kid, he would be mine.
All right, so we're not talking about Hunter x Hunter.
You're right, but he's just so cute. I had to say it. Sorry. Go ahead. Go on. Move on.
All right. the sound director, Satoshi Motoyama, he has worked on a ton of great stuff, some of which include 91 Days, Tonikawa, and Dagashikashi.
That Dagashikashi is one that you're going to have to watch, Garrett.
I, that's what you keep telling me.
Yeah, it's all about fucking snacks.
And I love me some snacks.
And he loves him some snacks.
It was directed by Yuzuru Tachikawa. He was the creator and director. He had been at Madhouse since 2006 and then began freelancing in 2010, doing much bigger and better things, kind of like this. Death Parade was actually originally just the short film Death Billiards, which was intended to train young animators as part of the Young Animator Training Project in 2013, but they ended up making it into a full-length show.
Yeah, I was pretty... like shocked when I saw that on the interwebs because it didn't really I had never heard of Death Billiards, and it's not on Crunchyroll. I really don't know where to stream it. I have no idea. But the fact that they took it from something and it like was really popular among the studio itself,
and all the young animators must have been really good.
Yeah,
because they were like, you know, keep going. No, yeah. don't stop. This is good.
So it was a nice little like fun fact that I learned.
Yeah. Tachikawa also directed the opening sequence, and he has been involved in Bleach, Mob Psycho 100 as the director, Attack on Titan, and many, many others. This dude has a ton under his belt.
Yeah, he's mainly like, he hasn't really been like this is his baby. Like, he created it. There's no manga behind it. This is his baby. And everything else, he's just kind of been like an episode director, or he's done storyboard, or he's done like something else. Like, this is solely his.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Me too. Let's keep it rolling.
All right. So I included this director in here because we talk about the intros and outros, and he created the ending sequence and was also on as an episode director. And a lot of you will know this name. The big name in the anime world. The Shinichiro Watanabe. If you don't know him, he's known for Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, Carolyn Tuesday, Mobile Suit Gundam, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, big fucking names.
Big names.
Huge animes.
If you don't know anything about him, he's known for his ability to blend together different genres. For example, Samurai Champloo is about modern day Japan, Okinawa samurais, the modern day Japan. Did I already say that?
You said
I
that did. Twice.
Hip hop. That was the one I missed.
You just forgot hip hop.
I forgot hip hop.
Well, you heard her. Modern day Japan, modern day Japan hip hop.
Stop it. Stop.
All right. That is pretty much the credits for, like, you know, who created it and stuff.
Giving credit where credit's due.
Yes, absolutely. And now that you know who created it, we're going to do our best not to spoil this.
It's going to be kind of hard, but I feel like we can do this.
I mean, there's a lot to take away from this anime, so I don't think we're going to spoil it, but even if it was one tiny one, I would say go fucking watch it anyway. It's still good. And
because
you can watch it two or three times and still get something from it.
And it does have a storyline behind it, but every single episode is a different story. You know, it's not, there's no arc. It's not like an anime that has like different arcs. It's like every single episode is like its own.
Kind of, in a way.
But there is a storyline, just not yes. like.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily tie together on every single episode.
Yeah. Well, here's the summary.
Do it.
After death, humans are either reincarnated or sent to the void. However, upon death, before going to their eternal destination, they go to a sort of purgatory where they meet an arbiter, Deckim, in a bar called Quindecim, or Queen Deckim. In order to fairly judge the humans, he has them play a game to determine their true nature. Already sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's really dark at some moments.
Oh, it gets incredibly dark. I mean, when you have to judge somebody on where they're going, essentially to either being reincarnated or sent to the void, it's worse in a way than heaven and hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're judging somebody on that, especially when you have to judge them the harsher way, it gets dark. Like, you find out essentially why you have to judge them a specific way or the other. And when you find out that they may not have liked the judgment call, not the person being judged, but the person doing the arbiters doing the judging.
Yeah.
They may not have agreed with
the way that they had to judge it
that they just made. So there's a lot.
And I do want to mention that this anime can be emotional. It can be kind of hard to watch in some moments. Like, it can get kind of gory.
Yes. It can get very gory. That's for sure.
So I do want to put that out into the world. So if, you know, you're feeling like you need a happy-go-lucky anime, this one is not the one to watch.
No, this one will make you think.
Existentialism.
Probably make you tear up. Definitely make you question
life. Your life choices.
Yeah. people's morals, things like that. All kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And now that we've gotten all of the dark kind of stuff out of the way, let's introduce you
to the music.
To the music. And in particular, the intro song, which is in a way.
Strange.
It's
strange.
I'll save that for a minute. I'm not gonna jump ahead of myself here. So, Emily, you wanna tell them what the intro is?
I sure will. So the intro for this one is called "Flyers" by Braudio. If you haven't heard about Braudio, you're about to hear some shit.
Oh,
about
hell
Braudio.
Yeah, you are.
So this song "Flyers" was released in 2015 as a single. It did later come out on the album "Power of Life." Now, I have some concerns about this song because I feel like it's had some injustices. The song itself peaked at number 47, and I don't agree.
I mean, especially when we've seen even some of the songs that we've done just on our podcast episodes, it amazes me that it only jumped up, like it barely jumped above top 50.
I know.
Barely?
Barely. Barely scathed it.
And that is an injustice for this fucking band and this song.
It's true. Now, luckily, the album did a little bit better than the song as a whole, but it was only at 22. It
deserved much
it
more.
Deserved
I,
much
I wonder
better.
What was coming out at the time.
Because,
I'm like,
sure
today,
it
would skyrocket, in my opinion.
Probably, yeah. You know, there's... And the amount of like effort that the band puts into their stuff, that in itself would make me want to vote for them on a higher level for sales.
Oh, just their like demeanor and their characters and how they act in front of a camera. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, I
love these guys' personalities.
Yeah. All right. Well, Garrett, go ahead and tell them about the band.
Okay. Let me just get right into it because it is one of my new favorite bands. Like, definitely my, like, we throw these bitches on repeat all the time. We do.
My kids know them now.
Yes. And they're phenomenal.
They're funny and charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, if you're a front man, take notes from these guys. These guys they're so good. And they shred. And they're dancey. I'm gonna get right into the notes here because I'm gonna not stop and I'm gonna shut up. Okay. They were formed in 2010. Broadio, their name is an acronym for break the rules and do image on. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Because that's what I said. It means they will break all the rules of everyday life while having a wonderful image all around. They will make a new good place. And I want to be a part of that place.
No
that,
shit.
That place sounds fun. The members of the band call their fans their FPP or Funky Party People.
Yeah, I definitely would want to be a part of that.
Oh, I am a part of that. I am a part of the FPP.
Give me that Funky Party People vibe.
Their first international tour was in Fort Worth, Texas, just up the road.
Just up the road.
For the anime convention, A-Con.
And not like the rapper.
To be confused with the rapper. For the Flyers music video, Broadio released two versions, a normal one, and then a live-action recreation of the anime's opening sequence, which is fucking hilarious.
And it's so good.
It's so funny.
They did such a good job. Their facial expressions to perfect. Try to like mimic what they're doing in the actual like opening sequence that is in the show was spot on. They did They did a great job.
We did add the video. Both. I don't know. Do we add both of them? The music video and everything
too?
So
we added the Funimation one. We added we added both of the full length videos. I'm sorry. We added the full length music video. We added the live action recreation and we added the Funimation's opening sequence.
Just the opening sequence.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. So now you guys can go watch all of those.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's hilarious. Man, they nailed it. That's for sure. Well, on that note, are you ready to listen to
it? I am so ready to listen
to it. Oh, I'm so ready to show it. Here it is. Nerd. Death Parade's opening sequence, Flyers by Broadio.
So they're described as an indie band, but I would definitely say they're like
J-funk.
Yeah, they're funky. They're super funky.
I fucking love this song. The guitar is sick. You can already hear the telly. Like, I don't even need to see it to know that that's a telly playing. Fender Telecaster, for those of you that don't know.
Every time I see it, I just think of that live action.
Oh, the live action one's so funny. Because a ton of the way the characters are animated, like, they're really serious. Like, they have no facial expression. Yeah. And so they try to mimic that in the live action recreation.
And the band
nails it.
Like this part right here.
Oh my god. I died laughing.
Like, I wish we could show, like, just project something onto your screen so you could watch the video while we watch it, too. But that's not a thing, so we're going to have to trust that you're going to watch it. And then you can message us on Instagram and let us know
what you thought.
Please. I need to know.
Well, Emily, let's go to the lyrics.
Yeah, this song. Because
there's so much to say about this song, and I'm going to do my best to keep it simple.
We should. We have a lot to talk about with this score.
Uh-huh.
All right, so the one lyric that really stood out to me, that really that really fits this anime, because it all kinds of fits, like, in a way. Like, I want to see you be passionate about something. We've still got room to grow, so it's off to a new world. Like, yeah, that fits. I mean, it's talking about life and, you know, your passion and things that you do. But the thing that got me is that's one more problem to cross off the list of things to worry about. You see, the good and the bad from start to end is my life, my entertainment.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like those lyrics.
I like the lyrics too. I like all the lyrics.
I think that the lyrics definitely fit. It's so sad that I'm about to say this, because I don't know that the song actually fits the anime.
No, we have to be honest with ourselves. We can't, just because we like a band.
Oh, I fucking love this song. I love this band. I play this song all the time.
I mean, that's what I'm saying about, like, Stance Punks and stuff like that. Like, if Stance Punks had done this, I fucking love them, but they wouldn't fit.
Do I think it fits? Oh, I don't know. I feel like there's ways to make it fit. And maybe the only reason that it fits is because of the blatant irony that it is. Like, this anime is not as fun as this song. This
But you know what? They did a really good job making it seemingly fit by the animation. You know, they kept the same expressions of the characters.
That's true. You know, they did make the characters, like, have as much fun as the band was having playing the song. Yeah. In that sense, yeah, it's like it fit the opening sequence.
Yeah.
They made the opening sequence with the characters fit that.
It's so hard to say, because it's iconic almost to a point that when you hear that song, you think of Death Parade, like, instantly.
Oh,
think
for
of
sure.
It. And so, like,
I'm glad
know,
that they chose this.
And so when they play the song and you think of it, isn't it doing its job then?
Does it? Yes. I mean, yes, it does. Yeah. It is doing its job.
I feel like this one gets a B minus for me.
When I think it fits the anime, I'm thinking, does it fit the theme?
The tone and everything.
And what really probably would have fit, if I had to pick a song from an anime that we've done from one of our episodes, would essentially be the Elephant Leet.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Really religious, churchy. It's like, it's death and reincarnation and judgment, you know? It's that this song doesn't capture those things.
You're not wrong.
However, it is a beautiful juxtaposition and almost fits, because it is the polar opposite of what this anime is. So it's like showing a mirror, like, to the other side of it. It's the opposite.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like I said, I think I would give this probably a B minus. I don't want to give it a C, because I feel like the opening sequence and the lyrics and how well they make it fit to an extent is done well enough to give it in the B range. I wouldn't give it an A, and I wouldn't give it a B plus. It doesn't get an 89 or
an
88.
The song itself is an A plus.
The song itself an A plus, but you set it aside and it's their own music video, sure, yeah. Or in their recreation, yeah. Absolutely. But
I would agree with your judgment there. I mean, yeah, it's tough to say for sure whether or not it fits, because there's ways of describing it that could make it fit, and there's obvious ways of describing it that could make it not fit. So it could say yes and a no from me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still looking at the lyrics and just kind of, like, trying to fit it in. And I'm trying to also look at how they incorporated in the, like, the title flyers. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, a couple of ways that they've incorporated it. But I just, like, you know, they're flying within those memories. Flying, you've forgotten. Which, I mean, that fits an extent, but more at the end with Yuki.
Yeah.
You know, and they even say, come on, we're flying with that image in mind. This is, like, the main chorus. So everybody put your hands up. Come on, we're flying with that image in mind. I'm sure you can be who you want to be, so find it. You're the one. Now let's take to the stage. So it's like every time I read more of the lyrics, and as I think about it more, it's like the lyrics really, like, the song itself and the message of the song. Sure, the upbeatness, the upbeatness. That's not a word.
It could be today.
That's true.
It's kind of like, you know how we were talking about how some ending themes needed to give you that breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
it's almost like they used it in reverse for this anime. They gave you that breath of fresh air right at the beginning.
That's true. But when I talk about wanting a breath of fresh air, they do a good job with this anime with their outro giving you a breath of fresh air.
But the outro is a lot darker.
Oh, that's what I mean. Like, it's dark, but it's also a little more mellow. This is like something that makes you want to dance. And when you're coming out of something really dark, I don't want to dance either. I want to like,
well,
I want to come down from it. I don't want to like dance around. Let me ponder on what I need and let's move on.
I see what you mean. Not disagreeing with you, but it's more like they gave you, okay, take one big, deep minute and a half breath of the last joy that you're
some happiness, please.
This is the most fun you're going to have this entire episode. So enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. So
it was cool. It's cool how they did it. It's completely different from any anime we've done so far.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole structure of that. For sure.
Well,
I think it's time to move on to the outro.
Yeah, let's move on to the outro.
Yeah, we spent probably way too much time talking about the intro.
Hey, it needed it. It needed it. It's different than what we've done before. So I'm glad that we did. Let's move on to the outro.
All right. So the outro is called Last Theater by Noisy Cell. The song was released in 2015 as a single, and then it was released on Sources, their first album. It peaked at number 57, which I kind of agree with. This isn't my favorite outro. It's actually kind of like I didn't even really remember it when we watched the anime.
No, I didn't either.
Exactly. Like it doesn't sit with you. It doesn't stay with you.
It doesn't. I like the song.
No, I like the song, but it's not something that I would be like.
I don't remember it, though. I wouldn't remember to search it.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Yeah. All right. Well, let's tell them about the man, Garrett.
Well, okay. Noisy Cell is a post-hardcore alternative band that was formed in 2007, but they didn't make their major debut until 7 years later, 2014. They were featured in the anime Barakamon, if you've seen that. I have not.
We have not.
In November of 2020, the band decided to suspend all of their activity due to their social situations and self-restraint of activities due to coronavirus.
Man.
So sounds like a lot of people I know.
Story we all know.
Yeah. Oh, man, that story is just overplayed.
Yep. About to be on a whole year of being without a
Fuck
job.
That noise. Well, we have a job now.
Well, yeah, this is our job.
Yeah, shooting the shit about anime. It's great. So
I think it's time to listen to the
song. Let's listen to Last Theater by Noisy Cell.
We did include the full length version of this as well in our YouTube playlist.
Yes,
we
did. If
you want to hear the full version.
Yeah, I like the song.
No, it's not a bad song. It's just
it comes out pretty big.
It just doesn't stick with you. People love this song though. Like I don't know if it's because of the anime, but people love this song.
Yeah, it reminds
like
me.
Like in hindsight, at
it
least.
Reminds me of a little poppier version of maybe like a Perfect Circle or
yeah.
Tool.
Yeah.
The guy sings. He's got the same register as Tool.
Uh huh. Yeah.
I dig that song. I mean, I like it a lot.
The only problem that I have about this song, like, you know, this could be construed as a trigger warning. So I'm going to throw that out there for those of you who are in a bad place, in a bad mental health state. But this song is about suicide.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So the song is about suicide. And, you know, throughout like many times, like my blood is on the ground. This time I lost control. I'm not going to make it. Is it almost over now? I can't see the way to go. I feel so alone. I gave up my thoughts, lived just by reaction. There's not really a whole lot that I took away from it that's like, oh, this is it. However, Yuki.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of put two and two together there.
It meshes where it makes sense, where the lyrics don't necessarily have to. The theme of the song.
She's essentially the main character.
She is a... She is
almost
a,
the
she
main
is
character.
A
protagonist.
Would it be a protagonist? Yeah. Or is there another word? Because I don't really think anybody in this show is a protagonist.
She's... Yeah, I mean...
I feel like there's another word.
She's not technically the main character, but... It definitely.
She's highlighted for sure. She's a character that is like very, yeah. very prominent throughout the series.
Very important.
She makes you ask a lot of questions about the show.
She makes the main character ask a lot.
Absolutely.
Of questions.
Absolutely. So you know, and you know, I think that's it. That we don't need to talk about the subject matter anymore. So for those of you who may have come down on from listening. you can come back now because we're going to move on from the darkness.
But now that you brought up the lyrics, I'm not going to talk about them anymore. But now that you brought up the lyrics, do you see my point where they almost flipped the intro and outro?
No, I very much see it.
I didn't know that those were the lyrics. I'm glad that if you guys haven't figured this out already, Emily does a lot of stuff where she'll just – I learn about it on the spot, which is – it adds for more banter and stuff like that. But I didn't know the lyrics going into this episode, and thinking about that and what I said earlier, they did kind of switch it around, the intros and outros. It's almost as if...
Now they're leaving you with that lingering feeling rather than just
that,
being like,
that could have, that,
and breathe it all out and we're moving on.
That wouldn't have been my favorite opener, but it definitely would have fit as an opener.
Yeah, it could have fit as an opener as well. I think it would have fit a lot better as an opener rather than an ender.
Yeah, because like you said, that if all of this show, like Attack on Titan, you're like, holy shit, that was a lot to think about.
And the show does give you a lot to think about, and you're like, well, shitballs, what the hell, guys? You know, it's.
So for this show, I think that also could have been an opener, but. Flyers was so iconic.
Yeah, and it'd be tough
to throw that at the end.
It's really hard for me to like really decide.
They also picked two great songs.
I have a question as my hand is up and nobody else.
Why are you raising your hand? Yes, Emily, in the corner, you.
I am in a corner. My desk is a corner desk. I have a question about how they come up with these fucking genres.
What do you mean?
What the fuck is a post-hardcore band?
It's
alternative.
Like, it's like post-hardcore, you know?
The fuck is post-hardcore?
So there's a big hardcore movement with a lot of like screaming and stuff. And then what came out of that was...
So it literally just means after the hardcore movement.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what it is. Because the hardcore movement was just... It gets a little like, I've heard this shit before. And I've heard that band. And they sound like this band. And now they're all starting to sound the same to me. So... Post-hardcore allowed for... It's like when it goes pop. It's not pop-hardcore. They call it post-hardcore because they add a little bit more of a pop structure, a melody that you can get behind.
So then it's not like the same thing that you've heard this whole time.
And it makes it unique. And they use the elements of hardcore music into a bit of a, in my opinion, better song. I'm not hating on hardcore music. I love hardcore music. Just
It does have a tendency to sound exactly... Same.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Rhythms are really similar.
Yeah, it's kind, and that's why I feel like it's really hard.
Tuning
for me
is
to
the
keep,
similar.
I feel like it's really hard for me to keep up with like artist names in that genre because I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I cannot. I've always been really bad about artist names, so I suck at it. I know all the songs, but I don't know their names.
Well, let's get back to this song.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you think it fits?
You know. I think it does. It fits the mood and it fits the vibe. It's not my own preference on what I would like to have at the end of this show.
Like, you wouldn't have picked it.
I wouldn't have picked this song. I probably would have done like a classical piece or something. You know, something just
it
like,
sounds pretty 2015 to me.
It does sound very 2015. Yeah. I'd even go a little earlier 2000s as well.
Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but I listen to a lot of Japanese music and pop culture, Japanese pop culture, things like that. Sometimes it feels like a reflection of a few years prior, like what's popular in America, either the decade or just a few years before.
Right.
It's like that got popular in America. People around the world listen to it. And in particular, Japan, they listen to it, get inspired by it, write their own shit that's similar. And then it comes back on us when it isn't as popular. It's almost like a throwback.
Yeah, but then it almost makes it.
But it sounds better than the original version, to, like the original movement here. Not necessarily better, but it's like a cool, it's another a cool way.
It's a different.
It's totally like, different. It came back in a cool way.
It's
again.
Like an alternate reality type of deal.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
Yeah.
So
I, you know, I'm kind of questioning because now that I think about it, it does seem very early 2000s. But then I think about like, you know, they had their major debut in 2014, but they really formed
they started
in 2007.
I would say early 2000s, but definitely like that hardcore movement of the 2000s.
Like 2007 was when I was sophomore in high school.
Damn.
Shut your mouth, Gary.
I was in seventh, eighth grade, something like that.
So that was when that movement was really happening, was during that time. So I wonder even if the case is, you know, I don't know. It your way could be right, or my way saying that like this may be a song that they wrote
an older song
that they could didn't be. Put on a, like a major label
could
or
be.
Anything.
Could be. Yeah, still haven't said is, does it fit? For sure. I still got to do my little...
I know, your dingy ding ding ding.
My ding ding or the meh meh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it fits. I don't know why you're so questioning of it.
I'm questioning of it because...
The whole show's about death.
Yeah, I get it, Garrett, okay? I just don't know if it actually fits. If you don't... If it doesn't resonate with you, then does it really fit? You didn't even know the song.
I'm looking at it third party. I'm looking at a third party point of view. Does the emotion of the song and the it doesn't? I don't have to remember it for it to fit.
I don't know. I remember most all the things.
Like, I remember it now because we're
know.
Doing this episode.
See, there's the difference between you and me, is that like when we did all like Naruto. You know, I watched Naruto, fucking 6 years ago, and I remembered every single one of those intros and outros. Like, you instantly started playing it. But when I first started researching this and I first listened to the song, I'm like, I don't fucking remember this song.
I don't remember every one of the intros and outros of Naruto.
See, I do. And most of the things, like, I remember the things, but I literally had no recollection that this song existed in that anime.
That's fair, but...
So it didn't impact me. And so which means that they didn't deliver
well, then you think,
me.
Then you think it fits for a totally different reason than I do. Me, I totally could have picked this song. I mean, I don't know what else was out there, what other decisions there were, what other options they had in 2015 when they were, or I guess really 2014 when they were making this. So to me, I think that it fits. It captures the emotion of the show for the most part.
Yeah, but you don't even know that until the very end.
What do you mean? No, I mean, the whole thing's about death. So it definitely captures the emotion of the show. For sure.
Okay. I don't agree. I don't think it fits.
So we got a both on this one.
We got a both.
Can you elaborate a little more about why it doesn't
fit? Oh my God, Garrett.
I want to know.
Like you said, I have my own way of deciding if something fits or not.
As if it resonates with you.
If it resonates. I mean, think about it this way. We have a review podcast about the music of anime, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there's probably like a good niche out there of people who really like the music in anime.
Do you remember the outro song for Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, there are a bunch of stupid ones. I didn't really... That doesn't count. Because,
it counts.
No, because I didn't like Dragon Ball as much as you did. Of course you remember all of the things. Just like I remember all of Naruto.
Just because we don't like an anime doesn't mean that the songs don't fit. Or do fit.
You're right. Whatever.
I love hearing that, guys. When she says the words, "You're right." That's...
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen very often.
It hits me like right in the loins, you know?
That's your word lately.
I know. I love that word. Loins. Gird your loins.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
All right.
So...
Well, we spent way too much time on that outro. Rightly so. It was a... I got a "you're right." I'm happy we spent that much time on it.
You asshole.
All right, Emily. Do you know what it's time for?
I don't know. We just got done with the outros. I think I got it.
What?
Is it the review time?
It is the review time. I love how you said that. It made me want to come up with a crazy voice. Jesus Christ.
Words.
You threw me off. it is the review time. Fucking A, man.
Which one are you going to read first? Five star, one star, two star, three star?
One thing I have to say.
Yes, you do.
It's a combination of those two words. Death Parade had very, very good ratings. It was hard to find bad ratings, and all of the bad ratings were... Oh, man, I hate to call people idiots, but...
No, most of the one star... You heard the one for, like, "Why the hell are you here, teacher?" And
the one star,
"Great Pretender."
All of the one star reviews that I found for Death Parade were, like, people that just...
watched a couple episodes, most likely.
It's either that or they watched it all the way through and they were just too dumb to figure it out.
Maybe.
Like, what the show was about. They just weren't smart enough to figure out what the fuck was going on. Because when they... The questions that they have and the reasons that they're giving for the one star review are like, okay, you clearly didn't understand the premise.
Yeah.
You were just, well, not as intelligent as as you should be. Anyway, it got 8.2 out of 10 stars on myanimelist.net, 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb, and on Google, out of 511 ratings, it got 4.9 out of 5 stars.
Well, hot damn.
That's pretty fucking good. So, without further ado, let's get into some of these reviews. It was hard to find the funny ones, so I'm going to give you a couple of really good 5-star from Saurabh Singh. One of the best psychological thrillers with astoundingly deep meanings regarding life, an absolute must-watch, not to mention it can be tear-jerking and emotional at times, but in the end... it's great to feel after having witnessed such wonderful stories.
How sweet.
Yes. And this one's funny. This one's from Dumb Bitch. The only anime I've ever truly loved. The best I've ever seen. When I watched it for the first time, I had forgotten Deckham's name and called him Chad. And now I continue to call him Chad.
He's Chad.
Okay. There are a ton of great 10 out of 10 reviews. Some from one is like, there's an 8 out of 10 from this guy who just doesn't really watch anime. Fucking loved it. And then this one, 10 out of 10. Amazing is the headline of this. This is on IMDb from IMS. I think it's I'm Sabrina, but instead of an A, it's an X. I'm Sexbrina. First of all, the opening of this anime is everything. We agree. The idea of this anime is so freaking interesting and creative. Death Parade is probably the darkest and deepest anime that I've ever seen, and I love it. I wouldn't go as far as darkest, but
it's pretty deep.
Has a beautiful ending, although I'd love it if Deckham had feelings for the black-haired girl. Because I ship them off.
Oh, yeah.
I need a season 2, please, in all caps.
Yeah, that was some, like, you really want it. Like, that's one of those ones that you definitely want. You want to ship them.
Oh, for sure.
I hate that. I know that. God.
Now let's get into the 1-stars. There's 2 somewhat long 1-star reviews, which is why I gave you so many of the 5-stars. and they just weren't that funny. They were just really good. So... this is what I mean by this guy just didn't get it. Title, Death Parade is Boring and Dull, from Reddit user Jack Fitch. Earlier this year, I decided to watch the full series of Death Parade, which was 12 episodes long. I honestly felt like the show had very little substance to it and felt very bland to me. Yes, if you are reading this, you're about to see me rip it apart to shreds. This is not the worst anime I've ever seen, as I've definitely seen shows that are more offensive than Death Parade, but it's definitely still far from anything even remotely good, in my opinion. Let's get started. The number one thing that was a huge issue to me was the fact that there is literally no point to playing any of the games that decided whether you would go to heaven or hell. There's the first thing that's wrong. You don't go to heaven or hell. The first thing that is a red flag is the fact that the anime expects you to believe that anyone that dies ends up in this bar where people participate in these games. Already you can see a problem, as the anime addresses that more than 7,000 people die in a single day, as where you only see two people appear at a time. Each game, I'm guessing, probably ranges from 30 minutes to maybe 1.5 hours. Right there, you have to wonder where everyone else ends up while the two contestants are obviously in this bar location. I'm going to pause that review right there, because all of that is also explained in the entire show if you just watched it.
People are
idiots. Clearly, this is a different dimension. Time doesn't matter. One. Two, there is a point to playing the games. Three, they explained who actually ends up at the bars. There's also more than one bar.
Yeah.
That answered all those questions. Okay, yeah. Moving on. Why is it that two people are only allowed at a time for some reason? That's not even really the biggest problem. Really, as I had already mentioned, there's no point in these games to begin with. It is actually shown multiple times that people could end up losing and still go to heaven. They don't go to heaven.
Oh my God.
Right there, you have to wonder why Deckim, who is the arbitrator, actually arbiter, makes people attempt these games at all. What baffles me was in episode 5, when it was shown that the only thing that really decides where you go is whether you lose your cool or not. You know, like in any religion where a person is decided based on being a good person or not, and instead being angry for some reason. So apparently you go to hell if you're just a bit angry? What kind of dumb logic is that?
Oh my God.
That right there shows you how pointless these games really are as a whole. There's really no point in doing anything at all, as you could also live there anyways, to regarding Chiriyuki staying there. It's a weird way to write that, sir. Another thing that really bothered me, they also explained why Yuki was there.
Yeah.
Another thing that really bothered me was how bland the characters were. Deckim himself almost has no character at all. The only real redeeming quality he has was just caring for Chiriyuki for whatever reason. That is also explained in the fucking anime. Like, I can't... Everything that you've just stated is all explained. Just listen or read. He just really serves as the manager for these games that people play. There's not really a whole lot to him. He's not the manager. Chiriyuki herself is bland because they only mention the fact that she died, and honestly was so forgettable that I forgot how she really died in the first place. If you watched the last episode, you would remember. It makes sense that she's really upset about her death, but they don't really give the audience any way to feel for this character. Deckim also caring for her doesn't really give us much either, other than a hug for everyone, because he has nothing there to relate with her, so they have no chemistry. Pretty much all the other characters are just filler, including Nona, who just lays around and plays by the pool and drinks wine, and another character named Oculus. Quinn is also just the previous arbitrator.
What? Wow, they don't have any of this information, right?
Yeah, I might as well just stop reading right here. This goes on for a bit more. And I don't even think he spoiled anything.
Not really. I mean, we got character names and stuff like that. Well, I mean, congratulations for that, that he didn't spoil anything.
He didn't spoil anything because
good for him.
Everything
he
that
probably
he
didn't
potentially
watch.
Could have spoiled was all wrong.
He got it wrong.
So last one-star review. This one's much shorter. This one's from B Banner on the Reddit.
Like Bruce Banner?
The subreddit character rant. Death Parade is unbelievably overrated. Rant warning.
Oh, Jesus.
I've had this fucking show recommended to me so many times over the years. Recently, I finally watched it because it looked really cool. The first two episodes of the show are actually brilliant and absolutely fascinating. Then, the episode with the other Arbiter, Genty or whatever, the episode was garbage fire filled with hell. But I thought, surely this will not continue. And it's as if the director reached out to me and said, there are 8 episodes and oh, you will know my works. This shows Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Poor is somehow not only the most simplistic version of this idea I've ever witnessed, it's also so out of place it physically hurts. Isn't this show about people betting their lives or something?
Idiots.
Yep. Oh, you guys just didn't watch it. Shouldn't that happen more? Why don't we ever get to see the cool Skull Blood Lady? Why are we talking about Deckham and not the cool God Dude? Why is there this awful audience stand-in? This goes on for another monstrous several episodes. And I don't know what he means by monstrous several episodes, because it's not that long. Until we get to the two killers, this is legitimately great television were it not for our awful protagonist. The rest of the show is absolutely mind-numbing nonsense, and I'm completely astounded it has the rating it does. There are literally 4 good episodes. It's just terrible.
Yeah, that guy just watched 4 episodes and assumed he knew what the rest was going to be about. And I, for those of you, please, who have not seen it, when we read these reviews, it's for humor.
It really
and,
is.
And we will tell you if that is accurate. Like, fuck yeah, that's accurate. Just like, why the hell are you here, teacher? There is no basic plot line to that. It is all just boobs.
It's just boobs.
Boobs. That's it. If you don't want to watch that, then don't watch it. The same with this. If you don't want to deal with the things that we have told you about, don't do it. But if you want to watch it because it's a great anime, you should do it and watch it all the way through and pay attention.
Pay attention.
Get a little stoned, not too stoned.
Just a little bit stoned.
Just a little bit stoned.
Not so stoned that you can't follow the subtitles. You have to start and rewinding over and over again. And you fall asleep. Yeah, that's happened to me many times.
We know that feeling.
All right, reviews are over. On to one of my favorite parts. The entire show is my favorite part. What am I saying?
Yeah, so...
Let's get to the score!
Let's get to the score!
Yes!
Yes.
Emily, take it away. Who composed it?
So the composer is Yuki Hayashi. He, oddly enough, was a gymnast for the men's rhythmic gymnastics in Japan. And due to having to choose floor music during his performances, he developed a love for scores and background music.
Gymnast composers, that's hot.
Oh, okay. So he began to learn to compose music in college due to his unhappiness with the music choices for his own performances, and then began to sell his compositions to other gymnasts. The first
problem solver. That's hot.
The first one that he sold was for like 5,000 yen.
Fucking salesman. I know, that's hot too.
I know. I love this. Yes, keep going. Hot. Keep coming. All right. So Hayashi apprenticed under Hideo Kobayashi. If you don't know who that is, he's a prolific house techno DJ and electronic music producer. So he did that because he wanted, because he had no music background experience.
He had to go learn.
He had to learn. And then he also wanted to learn beats because of, you know, being in the gymnast, you needed to have like a very energetic. And so he wanted to learn how to make beats. Well, then he started composing for competitive ballroom dancing and figure skating events. He is with the agency Legendor, and I am pretty sure a lot of people have heard about this because
I know I have.
Yeah. He's considered to be their most prominent composer, and Hiroyuki Sawano was a part of it. And when
we know him.
And when he left the agency, our composer here, Yuki Kobai. Hayashi, sorry. I'm thinking of Hideo Kobayashi.
Yep, wrong one.
Wrong one. That left him with their most prominent composer. He's collaborated with other huge names in the game as well. He's worked with Asami Tachibana on Haikyuu and Soul Eater Not. He's worked with Kota Yamamoto, and y'all know him from the fourth season of Attack on Titan. And they worked on the anime Dive together. This fool did all the seasons of My Hero Academia. He did the One Piece film Gold, Diabolic Lovers, Gundam Build Fighters. And that it doesn't stop there. Those were just the most notable that he had on his list. And, you know, if you are a fan of animes that are, like, way under the radar, then you probably have heard a lot of his shit. I do have a fun fact about him. He owned an extraordinary amount of dogs.
So you have this awesome composer, gymnast, problem solver, salesman, super talent, who is also a dog person?
He's a dog person. Are you in love now?
That's super hot.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. You are a snack, my friend.
You are hot as fuck, bro.
All right. So with his extraordinary number of dogs, he actually composed an original piece of music for his dogs. And it's super cute, too. It's like his dog had puppies.
He wrote a song for his dogs.
He wrote a song for his dogs.
Oh, my God. That's double hot.
You do that for Lady Bird all the time.
I do sing to Lady Bird, don't I? She hates it, though, sometimes when
she does,
like,
especially when you like get all gritty on your strings.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. I'll aggressively attack my strings with my guitar pick, and she starts barking at me.
She's like, oh, bro, 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 bro.
That's a good version of Lady Bird.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fantastic.
As Lady Bird tries to get on our lap.
Trying to get on our laps.
Yep. All right. Well, I think we should move on to the OST. Garrett, what do you think? Are you excited? Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so fucking pumped.
Already.
All right. Before we get into our notes, we have to give you some credits here.
Give you some backgrounds.
The OST was released in 2015 under the VAP label. It contains 31 tracks, although there is a digest version, which only contains 10 tracks and is about 30 minutes in length.
Yeah, we have no idea why.
We have no idea why it was created. And this entire thing was only released digitally. It is also in the link is also in our show notes on the YouTube playlist. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to that as well.
You know, I have something to say about that digest thing.
Wait, oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. There were oddly a whole lot of articles about people who reviewed the soundtrack for this, but they only reviewed the digest version. And I'm like, you cop outs, you lazy pieces of shit.
They only reviewed the
digest
version?
They only reviewed the digest version.
Lady Bird, don't lick my microphone. Sicko.
You sicko. Yeah, I found that to be incredibly disturbing. Like, why only 10 tracks are you wanting to review? And then they only would review like 3 of the 4.
That is a cop out, especially since that's not what the entire show was.
No. You know?
The OST is the original soundtrack. You should listen to the original soundtrack, not the digested version.
Digested.
it's easier for you to digest.
Let's go ahead and put it in your stomach and shit it out.
We cut the carbs. It's the diet version. It's OST light.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Let's talk
get
about
into our notes. Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Well, there's a fuckload of notes. I got 2 pages full of notes.
I don't know how many pages I have.
I want to start by saying that the score seems to group together sound palettes and instrumentation rather than really writing clear motifs and variations to those motifs.
Mm.
There were a couple that I noticed, but they weren't obvious motifs. It did some thinking, required some thinking to find them. And they really, it's interesting how they put this, at least the OST together, like the track orders and everything. Definitely not the order that I would have put them in. There are some tracks that do not belong together.
Yeah, no, they did seem to kind of jumble it around. It'd be like this super, like, and I don't think we said it at the beginning, but we're very, we're celebrating jazz in the last 2 weeks because
it had
this one got some jazzy vibes to it as well.
It must be like the theme that they're choosing to use for games and playing games.
Yeah, and I think that really was something that they seemed to make very clear, because considering that it's A game, game B, game C, it didn't flow well, because as soon as you would get done with game C and you move on to the next track, it's a completely different sound. Yeah. And you know, if you're listening to this in your car without being on shuffle, which, oh man, fuck if you listen to it on shuffle.
Don't listen to it on shuffle. There are a couple of groups of songs, or at least pairs,
where they actually are strung well together.
Those fit together, but it's like that group with the next immediate thing. Yeah, the next, some of the tracks on there were like thrown in the middle between a piece or two pieces that could have flowed together beautifully, and they just interrupt it with this totally out there. It just doesn't fit. I think it overall it does fit the show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The score really latches on to that emotional impact of death, like regret, sorrow, rage, acceptance, peace, even the emotions we imagine that we would feel as a soul looking back on our life that we just had. It really captures those. And I think they do a great job at that.
No, you're completely right. The strings, especially, there's a lot of times where they are just completely full of emotion and they just show it in such a way, but they use it in completely different way on different tracks that are conveying totally different things. The string parts on this one are really what stand out to me. There's a ton
of versatility.
There's some instrumentation that's very different and totally versatile on each track, but the strings are really what like seem to be their like prominent.
Yeah.
Strings and piano.
They do a really cool job with the production techniques too. The somber piano parts.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff that they do with, like, memory. I think there's one called Memories, if I remember correctly. I don't know if that's the one.
Yeah, there is one, Memories.
It was earlier in the OST, but they have this really sad-sounding piano. And I thought it was just recorded really well. Not just for the notes and the phrasing, but you could hear the scraping of the pedals underneath as they're pressed and depressed. Hammers striking the metal strings, like you could hear all of the inner workings, the movement of the keys. You can hear everything and all the mechanics inside the piano, and they really do a cool job of like bringing those out from underneath.
Do you think that was it? Regret of Death, was that the one? Because I even wrote on the thing. I was like, I love the tone of the piano.
Yeah, they do this. I just thought it was really cool because not only could you hear all the music and the phrasing and stuff like that, the chords. But as they were playing, you could hear the mechanics of the piano working. And I think that was a cool little, it's like you're sitting by yourself.
And you're watching somebody play violin or play piano.
Or just playing it by yourself. Yeah. And you can hear
the pedals moving and you can hear the keys hit in the back.
It makes the piano sound more alive and more personified, which was really cool. Now, they do have a couple happy songs.
Yeah. I mean, there is one called Happy People.
And that one, I believe, is the one I'm talking about. The happy songs are very playful. They did those very well, too. I think they threw them weirdly in the middle of a couple of sad tracks. But they do a good job with them. They even use some country, bluesy, bluegrass tones.
And this is... All of these things that we're talking about are like almost in order of the score. So it's so strange to go from the first four tracks that are kind of just like sad and somber and melancholic. Uh-huh. And then you get to Happy People and it's like you have a completely tone. I'm like, even in my notes, I was like, what an upbeat song that instantly changes your mood from the first four tracks on the OST. And then you move into Table and Back that had the very Western-y feel to it. And it had that cello in it as well. And so, like, you know, you're jumping back and forth between these genres and tonalities of music.
Yeah, it was a strange way to travel between emotions. I don't think it was the most cohesive.
No.
Did the songs fit the anime and the scenes?
Yeah, absolutely. They did.
They certainly did.
And they captivated you as well.
When I think about, like, if I'm composing for an anime, I'm thinking about not only what fits the show, but if I'm going to release the OST separately, what fits the OST? How can I make this all one cohesive movement?
Well, I mean, I feel like you know, unless you were to try and do it where it was in the order of the show, which that this is not the case in this particular scores instance, especially considering that on every single...
Well, I mean, a lot of times you use the same songs for different episodes.
And you use different parts of each of the same song for different things.
You can't put it in the order of the show.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times it's repeated. So unless you want the whole thing repeated a million times, you can't do that.
Right. So I've thought, you know, I feel like if you're going to, it's just like any other artist should when they put out their stuff, rather than just a composer and somebody who did the soundtrack, I feel like they also should adhere to the same rules of make it cohesive to where if somebody's listening to this outside of watching the anime, that
they would enjoy it.
It would be an enjoyable experience because that's what music is. It's an experience.
It could tell the story of this show, of this anime.
Absolutely. And you could create, to watch it. And you could recreate that story with your music.
Exactly. You could, at least the emotional,
emotional part of it. Absolutely.
But talking about Happy People, I'm not going to play the song from the OST. It's not, especially the first. There is so much on this OST. Not the first song I'm going to play. But before, I wanted to talk about these things before we jumped into the actual songs. Some of the instruments that they used.
Yeah.
One was on Happy People. I believe they use it later too, because Happy People is a little more upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also use this instrument later. It's called a dobro or a resonator guitar. You have heard it, I'm sure.
Many a time.
Yeah. It is bluesy, jangly, almost deserty sounding. It's kind of like, I'll just show you. I'll play a video for you.
Yeah. Then this song too, while he's loading that up, is it's pretty crazy because they have like the sliding of the dobro, and then they have like kind of like an 8-bit video game type sound to it as well. So it's a very interesting piece.
Yeah. Yeah. They combine some cool instruments. So here is the sound of a dobro. This is a video that we found on YouTube from Justin Johnson. The song is called Son of a Witch. It has nothing to do with this anime other than the fact that it's the same instrument. So depending on how it's used, it could sound swampy bluesy. I've heard it used on a lot of like desert apocalypse kind of sounding too.
But you can kind of hear that Western.
Sasuke's theme from Shippuden.
That's right.
It's this instrument. Now, a resonator guitar can be used in kind of two ways. You can hold it like a guitar, and it's mostly used with a slide.
Right, or you can lay it flat down.
You can lay it on your lap, too. Play it kind of like it's not lap steel, but it is, again, you use a slide to make it sound super cool and bluesy like this. Or country, which is how they use it on Happy.
Right.
They use a very country-esque, a little more upbeat and square. Not so painful sounding like this. You can hear the pain of this guitar. Resonator guitars look really cool too. They have this like huge ornate
metallic
plate.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it resonates off of. It's instead of the hole in the center of an acoustic guitar, it looks like an acoustic guitar, except with a huge decorative metal plate on the front and F holes.
And if you go and watch the video,
F-holes
you'll see
is not
exactly
a dirty
what I mean.
Term, by the way.
It is not. Stop it.
But yeah, go watch this video too. It's a cool video. I am going to stop it right about here though.
Because it is a 5-minute video.
Yes. Okay. That is a resonator guitar or a dobro, which I think is way more fun to say.
honestly, like it almost sounds like you're saying a dobro, like it's all one word, a dobro.
No, it's dope, but it's D-O-B-R-O.
But it's the dobro.
Yes, no. It is a dobro.
Yeah, yeah.
On Happy People, they use it with like fiddles and this like really square sounding bass line. That's one of the instruments. What was the other one? Oh yeah, the Rhodes piano. Fender Rhodes. I actually wasn't sure if this was a Whirly or a Perodes. A Whirly or a Rhodes. Whirly stands for Wurlitzer, another type of, it's a very similar sounding, a little brighter, and has more of an attack than how the Rhodes is typically used. So I'm going to play you another video that we found that kind of, it just shows off this instrument alone. Again, has nothing to do with the anime other than the fact that it is the instrument used. This is the 1973 Fender Rhodes Mark I.
You hear this in a lot of lo-fi songs too.
Oh yeah. Sounds really warbly and spacey. And what I mean by attack is, like, when he's hitting the keys, you don't hear the ping of the keys. It's not very sharp. It all kind of blends together.
Yeah, it's like when you hear a key, like, it can resonate a little bit more on that high pitch. And this one, like, it does. It blends with the next note or, like, whatever sequence you want. It fades out eventually.
Slurred a little bit.
Yeah. I love how into it that player is getting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds amazing. And they used it really well on the song Introduction. I even wrote, love the use of the Rhodes / Whirly on the track. And the effects that they added in the mix in post-production, kind of to add space between the accents of each of the other instruments. Mm-hmm. They used it to capture where the silence was, to make sure the silence wasn't completely silent.
Right.
Add space. Kind of symbolizes that mind wandering sort of thing. And I'm hoping he just hits a resolving chord here soon so I can cut this off.
No, he did not.
All right,
that
we're
was
stop
a horrible on. Place to
horrible
resolve.
Place to stop, but we're stopping it there. I'll fade it out or something. The only other thing I was potentially going to show off was on one of the tracks they used metal brushes on the snare, and they combined that with the upright bass.
Oh, really right, right. That was a
cool,
really
smooth.
That
sounding.
Was a really jazzy song mm-hmm. that was played. There are a lot of things going on in this score. But there is one thing that I feel like needs to be highlighted. It needs to be highlighted because I really want to know what the composer's thought process behind adding this in there. And this is that Jim Jones reference.
Oh, yeah.
In Game C.
Would you like to tell them about Jim Jones just real quick?
Yeah. So if you don't know who Jim Jones is, he was a cult leader. This is where don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, the phrase.
That's where that phrase comes from, because he created his own colony, essentially, in what they called Jonestown. And he eventually caused all of his followers to have a revolutionary suicide and mixed cyanide with Kool-Aid and killed all the babies, the women, and the men. And only one person escaped alive.
They were going to transcend life together.
Yeah, they were going to transcend life. And, you know, up until the very end, people were like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go. And they did. And it was, there's a whole bunch of FBI files on it and a whole lot of things. It was a California-based cult. And actually, one of the ladies who protested his idea is from Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
From Brownsville.
Well, they used one of his speeches and they chopped it up and kind of threw
made
pieces
it
of it on top of each other.
And almost made it super chaotic. So it was, you know, it's really interesting to see that within this particular score.
Oh, yeah. And they not only do they chop it up and kind of throw, like, he's talking over himself in a couple different layers. Mm-hmm. They also, the speech is called You're Not Free, You're a Slave.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of the theme that they chose for the song, like where they would even use the "you're not free, you're a slave"
they would
line
just kind of
and
like
just fuck it up.
Sample it throughout in a distorted kind of way.
Make it sound like shit on purpose. Yeah. You know? It was cool. It was cool how they used it. Interesting why they chose Jim Jones.
Right. And that's kind of what I needed to highlight that, because it is so crazy to me to be thrown on this of all the beautiful pieces. And then you throw that garbage up in there. Not saying the song is garbage. I'm talking about Jim Jones himself. Like,
oh, well, yeah.
I want to know the purpose of what was it about that, the statements that he was making.
And I don't remember where they played that piece. I didn't even hear the speech in it the first time, like, watching the show. I didn't hear that either.
I can tell you where it is in the thing.
In the show?
And not in the show, and in the piece itself.
Oh, okay. Do you want to listen to that one first?
I feel like there's probably other things that are
That wasn't the one of the ones that I had highlighted to listen to.
Yeah, no. That was just something I wanted to point out, but I believe it's like halfway through the song that you'll hear that sampling. So if you go onto the onto that track, Game C, and you listen about halfway through, you should be able to hear it.
Oh yeah. So that is one thing I wanted to talk about too. You know, I'll just jump right to that. That's on my next page of notes. The song introduction plus the game trio. There's three songs, one called A Game, Game B, and Game C. Those songs together were just a super cool series of pieces that kind of sum up the idea of what the tavern is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen the anime, go listen to those four. If you have, listen to those four anyway and just kind of see what I mean. You have the introduction to the tavern. The word introduction, or the piece introduction, grabs that perfectly. The next song is kind of the idea, oh yeah, we play games here. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun games. And then the next song, Game B, hey, this is kind of fun. I'm having a good time. And then you have Game C, which is, what the fuck do you mean the real purpose of the game?
Yeah.
The fight or flight triggering.
Yeah. Like, what's going to cause you to bring out your true nature?
Yeah. And once you start to realize, you know, that all the games are different, but they all
are for the same purpose.
All for the same purpose. Then you're like, what? Whoa. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really, really cool progression of pieces in capturing that idea. And Game C was the one with the speeches, Jones. The Jim Jones mm-hmm. speeches. And right after that, they have a song called Looming Ending, which I love the hidden choir. It's very impending doom like. So it's kind of.
Yeah.
It's and kind of a cool finisher.
And then you come from that into verses. That's the one that had that really ominous violin.
And the disgusting slap bass.
That
was absolutely disgusting. I cannot even think of a better descriptive word for that.
Yeah. I know. And really, one of the songs that I want to play is between that one, Irritation and Anger.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a pair of songs, too, on.
Oh, that was People That Live in Memento Mori.
Yes. That was a cool. Technically, it's two pieces. To me, it sounded like it could have been one.
Yeah, like a different movement of the same piece.
Yes, two sides of the same coin. Like, you flip a coin and one side is this beautiful song called People That Live, which is like, cherish this fucking beautiful tiny blip of a moment that is your existence. You know, truly live.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, Garrett's like really good with the words. Because I said, seems reminiscent of memories in life.
That's not wrong.
Yeah, well, I ain't no songwriter, that's for sure.
Well, the other side of that coin is memento mori. Remember that you are going to die. Remember that you will die. And that is kind of the fact that it's the sadder version of People That Live. It is two sides of the same coin. You have this kind of, they're both kind of telling you the same message. One is a glass half full and the other one's a glass half empty sort of mentality or way of looking at it philosophically and musically.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really cool. One sad piece, one happy piece to describe.
Yeah. Cause even with that, that was like the happiest that we had seen the piano in the entire OST at that point. So even in my notes, I was like, man, this is like a happier version of this piano that we have not seen yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were two great pieces. I love those. And I think we can kind of jump into what we're going to show off.
Yeah.
Which one did you want to show off first? I'll let you pick first.
You know, I'm kind of stuck between irritation and versus. And I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. Did you highlight either of those?
No, I think I only have one circled.
What did you circle?
Encounter.
Oh yeah, that was the one with the gospel-y vocals.
Yeah, I try to only pick one.
Well, I highlight as I go because I really don't know how to make decisions on the spot.
I try to only pick one and just leave it, you know, for you guys to go listen to it. And it also saves me a little time that way. But the other reason is I don't want to just, I can't play the entire
score. Yeah, we'll get in a lot of trouble.
One, that's illegal. And two, it's not something that I should be doing. I should leave it up to you guys to go listen to this stuff.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I would hope that we talk about it in such good spirits that it would make you want to go listen to it while you're cleaning the kitchen or you're washing the car and put your headphones in.
Although it is hard to only pick
one song out of 31 tracks.
31 in an hour and almost 20 minutes worth of music.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? I think I'm going to go for irritation.
You're going to go for irritation?
I'm going to go for irritation.
Irritation's a good one.
Irritation is a good one. It's really hard because I really wanted everybody to hear that ominous violin. So please go listen to that for me. If you like enjoy listening to me talk, go listen to it.
Well, let me pull up this video. Okay, so let's play irritation. And then after irritation, there's something I want to say because there are three songs right around irritation. And one of them does not fucking belong.
Anxiety.
And I think it's the only one on the entire OST
that did not fit at all. What they titled
does
it
does not fit the emotion of at least the title. I don't know where it was used in the show. If I had to throw one piece away to just not show you ever, it would be that one.
Like if we had the like audacity to give you permission to like
Just throw it away.
Like, we're telling you not to listen to it.
It's not that it's
really
a bad
piece. You should listen to it.
If that's what they were trying, if that's the emotion that they were trying to grab, missed the mark by a lot. Yeah. So here, first of all, is irritation.
Now, we've talked about these beautiful violin and piano symphonic pieces, and then you have something like this, and it's like the beat, the drums when they come in, they're just like, it almost irritates you. It almost affects the natural rhythm of your body. Like,
well, the thing that irritates me the most is the super dissonant piano
in the back.
I think it's a piano. I'm sure it was like MIDI or something, but one, it's out of key. Two, it does not follow any tempo.
No. That's what I mean. Like, it just goes against every natural.
And it's sampled.
Yeah.
So, which means that they can cut it off before, like, it doesn't flow together at all.
Yeah.
It sounds glitchy.
And so, you know, the reason that I wanted to showcase this one is because I really feel like this one really, like, enhances that versatility that he used.
And there's a ton of sounds in here. Like, it's a very broad sound palette that they have for this entire score, but this one in particular, they have a ton of percussion and space left open for things to come in at a weird time, you know, like it'll just catch you off guard.
It definitely, like, I'm having to take a deep breath because I do feel irritable. Like, I feel like they got that one right on the mark.
Definitely. Even the grinding sounds, the sounds that aren't really pleasant, the sounds you don't want to hear, and they irritate you.
There are sounds that irritate you. Yeah.
Like a fork grinding on a plate.
Stop. Or somebody biting their fork.
Somebody biting their fork for Emily. You hate that shit. At least metal forks. But yeah, that one's a good one. They hit the nail right on the head with that one. They did a very, very good job. I'm going to play Encounter. It's circled. It's the only one that's circled. It must be good, right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
And thanks to you, my teeth hurt.
That's not thanks to me. You can think this.
You made the comparison.
Yeah. I am Lord. Here's Encounter. I love the sound of the tape reel underneath the that static that you hear. This song makes me want to do just consume it.
And that was it. And it's just like a little short breath of
sweet. It's very pretty. It's uplifting. Yeah. All I wrote here was is a seriously beautiful piece done very simply. Nice and uplifting. That's all I have. And I don't know why it made me want to circle it, but listening to it again, I'm like, "Oh yeah, because it's heartwarming."
It is, and you know, coming from the very beginning of the episode where we were like, it's really dark and emotional and like,
that's
you know,
things
like
that. Air.
This is, and it was only what, like
45 to a minute. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, like, it's not really that long and it's not very there, but it's there. And it's so warm that it makes it a little bit better.
Yeah.
It
really does help. That's kind of all the fresh air that you get, you know? Right next to what I wrote, the song Relief was a very similar piece. That's like kind of the group of motifs or instrumentation. Relief is another similar piece to that, and it's just a little bit softer, I think. Overall, I was surprised at how big this score sounded for how short the anime was.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised the OST is as long as it is, considering it's only 12 episodes. Yeah. But, I mean, that just goes to show that he had a ton of ideas and a ton of things that he wanted to incorporate into this.
And not only that, but each episode, each situation, as the characters are learning, the songs can't be the same. You're not the same person you were 5 minutes ago.
That's true.
You learn new things all the time, and the more experience you have, the more things you experience, it's going to change your perception of whatever situation you're in or life as a whole. So the fact that there is almost an hour and a half of music on here for 12 episodes goes to show that they never stopped putting in the effort. They didn't go, this is the theme and I'm now done writing for this
that
character.
Theme. Yeah, no, you're right. And I also think that, you know, a lot of times composers will give like themes to certain people. Even Attack on Titan, Sawano did the same thing with the Colossal Titan and the Female Titan. You know, they had their own themes. I mean, they were very long themes, so it was able to, you know, break it up, and within the track it was very versatile.
Yeah.
So that's an easy fix for that as well.
Yeah.
However, with this, he can bend any of these tracks to be anybody's theme. He has not left it to being
objective
to somebody else.
Or a lesson. It's a lesson really, that he's trying to portray.
Yeah.
And I think that it's good that they did this way, because the main character, their growth is very important. Especially when it comes to making you think about life and its purpose. Growth from that character is extremely, extremely important. And I can't really say much more than that because you'll figure out the twist.
Yeah. But
the fact that the music and the emotions grow as this character's emotions and thoughts and his personality grows.
Their personality grows.
It's the main character. It's that's not giving much away. It's just kind of steering your focus in the right direction. But yeah, it's important to have all that there. So you need something that evolves with the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
done very well.
I think that this score was done very well in terms of versatility. And I think with a score with something that with an anime that changes its theme of games or whatever it may be mm-hmm. on another anime, I think it is really important to have a lot of versatility throughout the thing. And he fucking delivers. He delivers on multiple levels that I never expected walking into this score. I didn't expect much from this score, honestly.
Yeah, I didn't really either.
Well, and I feel like because I didn't necessarily know who the composer was when we watched it, and who he was and what he's done and things like that, like I overlooked all of it.
Well, the thing, and yeah, that it's easy to overlook the score. I mean, we have this podcast and we're both musicians and we love listening to music, and I'm a fucking super nerd when it comes to scores and sound effects and like picking things out on shows that either shouldn't be there or maybe could be better, or why did they pick this? You know, my ears are constantly listening for that, but I couldn't have found all of this just watching the show because the show's story and the characters,
it captivates you, man.
It is super captivating. So your thoughts are just completely veered away from how well the sonic environment is, how good it's made.
And you know, before we really close out onto our fun facts and our closing statements and stuff, I want to point this out for viewers who are like, or listeners, you're not a viewer, you can't see me, get out of here, you creep. sorry. For those of you who don't really think much of the music and you're maybe stumbling upon our podcast and you're like, what the fuck do you even care about this score? Like, what's the point? There are a lot of things that go into bringing out emotional feelings. Like,
there's so many ways
So many ways that you can do it, whether it's with the animation, and I'm speaking just for anime because I know that there's a lot of things that, like, you know, live action things, it's kind of hard to do certain things.
I mean, there's only about in movies and films and the medium that's essentially that we're describing, anime. There's really only three ways. You have the story that can invoke emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You have the animation that can invoke emotion, and then you have the sound.
Yeah, and I feel when it comes to sound, there's a lot of things that can be done wrong.
Definitely.
There's a lot of things that can be done wrong or maybe even question it. For instance, the anime that we're watching right now, when we first started watching it, I'm like, man, it sounds like they like the score just kind of overwhelms what they're saying.
For some parts, for sure.
And some of the parts. And, you know, then now you're taking away from the story. Now I'm taking away from the score itself.
It also doesn't help that we can't understand Japanese.
So, no, absolutely.
So if it was English, we could easily pick out English words or at least better pick them out, even if the music is standing on.
But even it was like the pitch of the characters' voices.
Sure.
It's the instrumentation that they use. Like, those things are so important. And you fuck up once and like that can distract you for an entire scene. So when we are putting, like, we're spending hours upon hours upon hours reviewing scores and like getting information and things like that, like it's important to the things that we love, like anime, because it invokes and it tells a story and it's entertainment. And it just as much as the anime is, the music is to us. So I really wanted to make that like a thing. I wanted to make it a thing, because if you don't realize why music is important to certain things, then wake up. Just wake the fuck up already.
Wake the fuck up already. Wake the fuck up.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got it. We're good. Well,
that's a good way to sum it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I.
So we really only have one more segment for you.
Yes. I actually had some fun facts for this one.
Yeah, we do have some fun facts. There was already fun facts in the beginning. I thought it was very, very cool that this anime was originally a practice run for making real anime for young animators. That's super cool. But we have even more fun facts.
We have even more.
For you fucking weebs, you anime nerds.
It's time for fun facts.
Yes. Take it away, Emily.
Okay. So we kind of went over this a little bit earlier, but just in case you didn't catch it, in the interlude of every episode, they have the words Memento Mori across the screen before they, you know, take a commercial break.
And you should all know what that means if you have watched the series of unfortunate events, read any of the books, or watched the Netflix series. When I said watch the first time, I meant, you know, the one with Jim Carrey movies. But yeah, tell them what it means.
So it means remember you must die. And that's some shit right there.
Remember, everybody fucking dies. You're going to die.
Everybody dies.
You're all going to die.
However, you know, when your five-year-old is telling you that she wants to be buried with her sheeps.
Well, that's another story.
You know, then it's like, shit, man, you're right. You will probably die one day. But I don't want to think about that right now, right before bed, maybe. Let's go to bed.
And neither should you. You shouldn't be thinking about it right now. You're six.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one.
Yes. This is one of my favorites. In episode 11, around the 4-minute mark or so, there is a very wonderful, wonderful Death Note Easter egg. They featured Death Note's Light Yagami in one of the bars. They show him on the little, like, monitor, the screen. And I love what they say is, like, have you decided where you're going to send this guy yet? And that's all you get.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really cool. That they did
incorporation.
That. Madhouse, if you hadn't figured that out yet, had also done Death Note. So they kind of brought the two universes together in a very, very interesting way.
A unique way.
And for just a split second.
It's a little bit.
It's barely
you there. You wouldn't have caught it had you not actually
I didn't notice it
attention.
The first time.
So let's move on. The arbiters of the show are named after the floor that they work on in their Latin names. So Decum works on the 15th floor, which is called Quindecum. And Genty, one of the other arbiters, he works on Vigenti, and he works on the 20th floor. So I thought that was a pretty cool incorporation of the Latin.
Little play on Latin language, words there, yeah. Latin is super religious, too, so lots of life and death stuff there.
Which, moving on to the next fun fact.
Last fun fact.
Speaking of life and death.
Decum's name may be a nod to the Roman goddess of fate, Decima. She measured the thread of life.
Yeah.
And I think also had the scissors to just go.
Yeah, she was one of the fates in Hercules.
Yes. Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, that's
our show.
That's our show. And, you know, I'm hope you made it with us till the end, and if you have, we appreciate you so very much.
We really do. I mean, we have a ton of fun doing this. We have, what is this, our 18th 19th episode?
Yeah.
And there's still so much to talk about. There's still so much music to listen to and sounds to listen to,
and I'm so excited to announce this weekend our next anime. I'm so excited.
Ooh, you're not going to tell me.
I am not.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah, no.
Yes. So.
Oh, hell no.
That being said, if you could do one thing for us, go to our Instagram page where you can find out what our next episode is next week. And you can, you know, get to know us and hang out with a really fun group of people that are all sharing their thoughts on anime. They like playing the little anime trivia with us. A lot of them are artists and musicians and all kinds of things. So,
if you're also an artist and you enjoy drawing fan art, send it our way because we will share it on our page.
Fan art, fan fiction. That's one of my new favorite things to see is like what people are making fan fiction wise. Yeah. Some of it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
So send that shit our way. We'll share it. We'll talk about it. We'll give you advice, give you our opinions if you want those.
You may not, and that's okay too.
So head on over there. It's becoming a real family, and we want you to join ours. So if you're not already a part of it, our Instagram page is at Anime Noise Podcast, all one word. You can also click the link in the show notes. We also have a TikTok too, which is pretty underwhelming. Yeah. We're working on it. It's a new app for us. So
it's very daunting. I'm very daunted by it.
There's just so much you can do.
And it takes so much time.
It's also not the smoothest video editing app in the world. So
yeah, the fact that you have to watch it all the way through just to get back to it, and then you have to figure out you have to have everything planned out beforehand.
You can't go back and forward. It can only go forward and loop. Ugh, that's a little frustrating.
It's annoying. You have to listen to everything with headphones because nobody else wants to hear that shit 26 times.
It's almost like you have to know exactly what you want to put out there and just know start to finish how to make it. Otherwise, you're going to spend extra time trying to figure it all out.
Which is our problem. So yes. If you have any TikTok hints, please hit us up on our Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that's anyways. That's over.
Guys, I'm going to close with my famous line.
Your infamous line.
We love you guys. And whether you are cozied up with your own BBC or you're taking us with you for the ride, we are fucking thrilled to be sharing our love of music and sound effects and anime with you guys.
Yes. Yes. So that is pretty much our show.
That's it. And you can go watch Death Parade on Hulu. It says it's on Crunchyroll, but it's not.
It's not on Crunchyroll.
It's on Hulu.
Super easy watch. Go watch it.
It might be on High Dive too.
And if you decide that you want to watch it, let us know because it's so short. I mean, we didn't really go rewatch it for this one.
We didn't.
A relatively recent.
We'll rewatch it with you.
But there are watch parties on Hulu.
That's true.
So we could watch it together in real time.
That's true. And if there's ever, you know, this is me. Yeah. If you want to watch an anime, like you want to start a new one, we start new animes all the time.
Yeah.
So if there's ever something that you're like, man, I really wish I could watch this with somebody, like, fuck, you just have to just start it at the same time as us, and we can sit there and message you, and like,
definitely,
while we're watching
watch
it,
parties,
and it's
baby.
Like we're here, and
watch
or
fucking
if we're
parties.
On, or if we're on Netflix or Hulu, we can have a watch party. That is not something out of our reach. But,
no, it's not.
But you guys have been awesome, and you guys are great, and I hope that we have you with us next week as well.
Yes, and on that note, let's stop rambling. We love you all. Tune in next week for another episode of
Anime Noise.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.